from talk to rock and everything in between, the best variety is right here on the OmniSal Radio 1 Network.
This is Dr. Robert Schock of Great Sphinx fame. Take a look at my website, www.robertschock.net, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Psychic last year.
But that was different. Chrissy was shot. That was a paranormal event.
A voice.
I've come from my, I've crawled out from under, I've crawled out from my cave.
Yes, you have.
I just wanted to, do we have Marcus?
We have a Mark and a Marcus.
We have a Mark and a Marcus here.
Yes.
I just wanted to come on for a second. because I'm actually with the Haunted Winery Nurses right now.
Yeah, the nursing staff.
Yeah, they're doing me with an almond scrub and all these things. To try to
topless,
get,
too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
the topless Haunted Winery Nurses.
Not nurses.
Actually, I'm laid back in bed watching Goodfellas right now, just trying to recuperate. But I wanted to apologize to Marcus and Mark before they got started on this insane jam session that I know this is going to be for not being here. I'm going back to bed, guys. So I wanted to say hello and goodbye at the same time.
This is Scott.
I'm really sorry, guys. I was totally looking forward to like sitting down with both you guys, obviously, on the show this weekend. But I guess my throat just wasn't as excited as I was. So he decided to get sore on me. So I'm out of here, guys. Enjoy yourselves. Thanks again. Good night. Bonnie, so, take these headphones.
So there it is. We got to hear from Scott L. This is indeed Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And I'm Bonnie.
And that was Scott L. That's the crew, right? And this is absolutely the most incredible thing that I could think of, is to get on the telephone at the same time Marcus Leader and Mark Macy. Because both have been past guests on Ghostly Talk, and of course Marcus Leader, in his research, he builds gizmos and of which there are photos. If you go to ghostlytalk.com and go into the pictures section, there are photos in there in the Field Reporter albums of
incredibly cool gizmos.
Incredibly cool gizmos that Marcus Leader invents and creates, and we've used some of these things, in our own investigations, and he uses, of course, all of them in his investigations, and so Marcus Leader of Leader Research, it has more than earned our respect and admiration over the year or two that we've known him. And I have to say, Marcus, thank you for agreeing to doing this show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And welcome again to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you.
The other fellow, we've talked with Mark Macy twice, and on the show, and he's worlditc.org, and WorldITC, that's Instrumental Transcommunication. We ran across ITC one day. Scott L. was listening to Coast to Coast, of course, as we all do, and they were talking about instrumental transcommunication, and it prompted Scott L. to do a web search, and just the more he found, the more interesting the topic became. And so we talked about it over and over, over many a dinner, over the telephones burning up our cell phone minutes. ITC became a passion for us. And so we got in touch with Mark Macy of World ITC. And during the second time that Mark Macy was on, he mentioned something that just started ringing bells in our head. He said something about subtle energies, and that was in an actual phone conversation recorded between him and Konstantin Rodev, I believe it was. And when they started talking about subtle energies, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Now I know a couple of people who are doing research that could be complementary to each other. So why don't we see if we can get both of them on the telephone at the same time and introduce them to one another. So, Mark Macy, thank you for coming on Ghostly Talk again.
My pleasure again.
And I would like to formally, I suppose, this is what I've been waiting for ever since I wrote a post in the forums at ghostlytalk.com about how excited I am about this show. This is what I've been looking forward to. I would like you, Marcus Leader, to meet Mark Macy. And Mark Macy, I would like you to meet Marcus Leader.
Pleased to meet you, Mark.
Well, likewise, Marcus. I think from what I've studied of your work, it sounds like you're moving in the direction that science has to move into as they develop kind of a foundation of spirituality for a new science. I think you're going right in the right direction from everything I could tell.
Well, thank you. I think so. The The main thing is I haven't been in this particular area too long. I've been studying the paranormal for over 30 years, but I've just been doing this kind of research, you know, similar to what you've been doing. You've been doing it longer than I have. But I think, you know, there are some changes that have to be made in our technology, you know, to get to where we need to go.
Absolutely.
And that's where the one thing that I find is interesting is the beginnings of instrumental transcommunication was very technologically based. They actually built a transmitter and a receiver inside of a Faraday cage and taped many, many, many hours, I guess, or many conversations of things that would come across this device. So it's a device, and therefore it's technology. And now that was the beginning of ITC, I believe, and that was has not been able to be repeated quite yet. Well, they have not built a you know, the transmitter and receiver coupled together inside a Faraday cage. Well, of course, being inside a Faraday cage, you're not supposed to receive any outside signals. That's the idea of that. And so that's technology. Marcus Leder is working on technologies as well, using crystals and energies and magnets and just all kinds of different things come together in his, but it's not a transmitter-receiver kind of apparatus. It's quite different. He's trying to use the energy that is present and amplified or used by the various pieces in his creation. So, technology-wise, we're working toward building independently. We're working toward building this platform, and then of course spiritual wise, Marcus Leder is you're a shaman, right, or a trained shaman?
That's correct. Yeah, I studied for 8 years.
So you've got the right to talk about you know spirituality. You've earned this, and I know that Mark Macy as well has said that that it comes across when everybody who's working on an experiment is I'm going to phrase this wrong, I know, so I'll have to be corrected, but in sync, in tune, aware, and of the highest intentions. So correct me if that's wrong,
that's
but everybody
pretty good, actually.
Okay, but everybody has to be together on that, and that's a spiritual kind of state of being. So there's two sides, spirituality and technology. Marcus, let's talk about, if you could, let's talk about briefly with both of you the marriage of technology and spirituality.
Yeah, in this field, you almost have to put both of them together. You have to use intent sometimes to trigger. I think that's what Mark has been doing quite a bit through meditation and intent to actually make the connection, if I'm not mistaken. The subtle energy, the problem with trying to do it just with technology is that subtle energy is kind of a broad term that's used to describe various energy manifestations that are not from our physical reality. It's also referred as chi, prana, orgone, life force, and some people even call it zero-point energy. And it's also thought to be the stuff that like spirits or ghosts are made of. And it's my belief that term is far too generalized and should be categorized as manifestations of a primal force that permeates the entire multiverse. Each dimensional reality, and ours is one of them, has its own frequency or vibration of this primal force. Some of our energies that we have, you know, these vibrations are called magnetism, gravity, electromagnetic radiation. And another dimensional ring, say for example just above ours, we would find similar energetic manifestations of a higher vibration, making it impossible to detect with technological devices that we have now. You know, we can measure our own energy system, but we can't measure another. That makes the detection of the higher dimensions, you know, difficult, and it's almost impossible to communicate just using technology. There is a slight interaction between our energy system and that of the higher vibrations, and that opens up a possibility of detection and communication, you know, so that you can monitor the subtle energy interactions. But that's where technology will come in, but you still have to reach out there with human intent, and you have to focus your energies, because you're dealing with entities on the other side that only use thought and mental energy, you know, to communicate. So you kind of have to merge the two together. And I think that's a lot what Mark Macy and the ITC have been doing. Isn't that right, Mark?
Exactly, yes. During that conversation with Konstantin Radaev that they talked about earlier, I asked him to describe the equipment they use on their side, and he said it depends mostly on your reception, on your psychic reception, and that seems to be what makes ITC possible. It's been described as a sort of a marriage between the people and their attitudes and their thoughts and their feelings, and also the technologies on both sides of the veil. That's what our spirit friends refer to as a contact field. It's the thoughts and the attitudes of all the people involved on both sides that merge to form this pool of consciousness, or a contact field. And as you were saying earlier, the thrust of your research is resonance or harmony. And our spirit friends have told us that when there's harmony among the researchers, a lot of trust and sincerity and honesty and love, that kind of thing, then the contact field is clear from their perspective. It's a clear field, and they can come through and work with our equipment. But if there's dissonance in the form of resentment or envy or anger, then that causes a cloudiness in this field. It's invisible to us anyway, but the field becomes cloudy from the perspective of our spirit friends. They can no longer see into our world or work with us. And at that time, negative spirits who are of a different, denser vibration can break into the existing bridge and start causing problems in the contacts that we receive. So I think in the first 5 minutes of this conversation we're having, we've kind of hit on the crux of ITC, which is establishing this field, this resonant field, which involves a marriage of the individuals, their thoughts and their attitudes, and the equipment. So it forms a soup of life energy, or chi, or Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty much what I've studied in my field. And from a shamanic point of view, what you were saying about the fields, you know, being too dense or not coherent, one of the things that I was taught about the buffering zone, I believe the different dimensions have a buffering zone between them that keeps energy from flowing directly. And that buffering zone, people call, you know, in our line of research, they call it the veil. And they talk about the veil growing thin, like around Halloween, different times of the year like that. And what I was taught is that the veil actually doesn't, you know, grow thinner. It actually becomes more coherent, where the vibrations become in resonance. And so energy can transfer back and forth from one plane to another plane. And why it becomes, you know, coherent at that time of year is still needs to be researched. It probably has something to do with gravitational positions of the planets and all that. But that fits right in line, you know, with what I was taught, where you have to create a, like almost like a sacred space where everything is in resonance and harmony, so that you can actually entice the entities on the other side to communicate with you. You can have the best technology in the world, and if nobody wants to talk to you, it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah, Marcus, I was going to ask you, you know, what you said, what you told me about that in your email that I read the other day. The techniques you've been developing to sustain this harmony among people, So far, is it mostly theoretical for you, or have you been working with the group so you've been able to put this to practice and see how it works with a group of people?
I haven't worked with a large group. I've worked with a few different individuals. I haven't had the opportunity to use in a larger group. And a lot of it, it's a form of meditation, but it's also sound waves. And it's a series of complex sound waves that I found gets everybody's mind in sync. And it doesn't permit, like, the lower negative thoughts or vibrations to come through. And I think you're familiar with some of the technology. It's from the Monroe Institute using the
HemiSync. Oh, of course, yeah. HemiSync.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I've been experimenting, you know, creating my own different combinations of frequencies and voices. Voices meaning different oscillations of sound. And with, you know, different beat frequencies. And I've used it for other things besides that, but I've found a particular set that seems to, if everyone listens to it at the same time, it just takes their minds and just puts them right in sync. And it doesn't allow for, or it doesn't seem to allow for the negative, you know, the emotions to come through, which is what I was thinking might be beneficial to you, you know, your group, if you were to experiment with those sounds. I don't know if you've, I don't know what kind of meditation that you use, or, you know, if you use sound during the meditation. The only thing is, as you know, with HemiSync, it has to be listened to with headphones to get the best, you know, benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done some work with HemiSync and different techniques like that, but the concerns I've been having in the last few years while establishing groups to work with, you know, it gets down to the basic down and dirty aspects of human nature. You know, you get together with a group and there might be some chemical attraction between two people, and that causes a jealousy. Or you might have someone who just says something political off the cuff and somebody who bristles very strongly to what they said, and it spins out into some more like personality conflicts and arguments and just the basic human nature that kind of...
Good old human nature.
Yeah, that's the thing that's...
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but yeah, that's one advantage of, you know, I do a lot of work like that on my own, and, you know, unless I argue with myself, then there's not a problem like that, but when you get into bigger groups and more diverse personalities, that's something you're going to run into. So I can see how that would be a problem.
Well, there are indeed experiments where vastly different groups of people have achieved goals. And, for example, I'll just throw out the Philip experiment at University of out in Toronto, and where they made up a character and then pretty much gave him power, even though he was fake, Philip. So even though these students and passers-by or interested parties or whatever they were got together and were not of like mind in all aspects, and probably had, you know, being younger, probably had the attractions and then the fights and the and the differences of opinion, they were able to produce results with that experiment, at least as far as I've read. I've never actually seen any on tape or heard anything, but the reports are that they were able to produce physical phenomena. And I know that's not what we're looking for, you know, production of physical phenomena here, but they were able to for the purposes of the experiment, not take their own, you know, biochemical, electrochemical furnaces and their own minds and outlooks and get over that for just the, you know, the experimentation time. And I'm wondering if there's a way, but if there's perhaps some kind of thing within our psyche that we can set aside those differences briefly for the purposes of experimentation.
This is Mark Macy. Did you happen to notice when you were observing those experiments or reading about them, was it something that a group of people came together one time or two times, or was it a group that stuck together for a period of months or even years to where they sustained resonance over a period of time? Do you know what the situation was?
Yeah, this was a prolonged period of time. I believe it was approaching a year. And then as the group broke apart, the experiment could not then be repeated, because then people were into their own things and they hadn't built up this harmony kind of thing. But the harmony was only for the purposes of the experiment. So that's why I'm wondering, is it possible something in the human psyche to set aside differences, set aside your biological desires and base emotions and things like that, for the purposes of scientific experimentation? Like when you walk into a doctor's office, everything is cold and clean and sterile, and you are overcome with a mood, and you don't think about the traffic ticket and the everyday thing. You're there to get your whatever you're there for done and then get out. So I'm wondering if there's something already in the psyche that could be taken advantage of, so that we don't have to be in harmony 24/7 in order to do experiments like this.
Yeah, this is Mark Macy again. So what you're suggesting is kind of a rather than in-depth relationship among people, just meet on a sort of a shallow relationship basis, just for the sake of the experiment. Don't get to know each other too well. Just establish a sort of a surface harmony that'll work for the experiments, and then move on to your personal lives separately and get into your deeper relationships with other people.
Yeah, put that way, it doesn't seem very useful.
Well, it might be. I don't know. It might, could be.
Yeah, what I'm thinking, Mark, is might be able to employ a technique of like resonant tuning and the energy conversion box that the Monroe Institute uses, where you put all your worries and concerns and emotional differences and things in a box before an experiment is started. That's the only way I know you might be able to do something like that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do use that. That's true. They have Robert Monroe figured out a box. You open the heavy lid, you put all your emotional garbage in it, you close the lid, and then you go on with the resonant tuning as a group. That seems to work pretty well. That's a good point.
Yeah, I know they had, there was one case they had years ago where in the Gateway Experience or program, they were having a group of people go through, and there was one woman in the group that was very attractive, and a lot of the other men, whenever they would go to do their exercise, their mental conditioning with hemisync, they would, since they were attracted to her, to keep her as being a distraction in their meditations, they would take her and put her in their energy conversion box. And they found that this woman couldn't get very far. She couldn't reach the states that she needed to, or get out of her body or anything.
That's interesting.
Because everybody kept locking her up every time.
That's kind of interesting, because she can't help it.
I know. But that kind of illustrates exactly the obstacle we have right now to ITC, which is basic human nature, the hormones, the egos, the personalities, the things that cause people to not get along over a long period of time. It causes blow-ups, and that's why conflict resolution is so important in most organizations, to learn how to deal with conflicts. And it doesn't make it easy to work as a resonant group for ITC for that reason. But it's really important that we talk about these things, because the more we do, the more solutions will begin to bubble to the surface.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I think Doug's right. That's would be a good way to do it, is try to find neutral ground where everybody could put everything away. And that's the only mental technique I know of, is the energy conversion box. But if you get people that are too distractful to each other, or there's too much emotion going on, you know, it might not even work with that. You might have to find somebody else, but that's a problem with working with groups of people like that, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, tight-knit groups.
Yeah, and that's why I think there are no big ITC bridges built to this world at the present time, where people in every country are just, you can pick up the phone and talk to your Uncle Harry who died 2 years ago. That's what we're all hoping to have happen someday, but I think that's the reason why it's not happening, is because we can't establish the harmony necessary to do that.
Yep.
And that's what you and I are working on, Marcus, which I think is important.
Yeah, and in a world like this, with all the war and everything going on, it makes it even tougher.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you what, you guys, let's take a quick break. Can we... Will?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break because that's a lot of stuff to analyze and think about for, so we'll take a couple of minute break, and then we'll come back with more Ghostly Talk with Mark Macy and Marcus Leader talking about ITC communication with those on the other side of the veil, and see what we can do to bring technology and spirituality together. The whole gamut. We'll talk about everything that comes up after this break.
Messages. Now keep listening to Ghostly Talk, or I'll send you to the chopper right back where you came from, dude.
Out into the hidden skies where castles crumble like salt water in the eyes. And this drink is not me, no it's not me, not me inside. And my fist is lonely for another jaw to
the words are cold and afraid, and all
And this is still Ghostly Talk. I was saying on the break, and I alerted Mark and Marcus to this, but I did want everybody to know that while we were talking during that first during the previous half hour, here in the winery, where we don't usually have anything unexpected happen, all three of us who are sitting at the table, that would be Bonnie, Will, and myself, all three of us heard what I thought was a fork or a knife or some kind of metal object fall into the sink. That's the noise that I heard. And that's what I interpreted it as. So Bonnie got up from her chair and walked into the kitchen to investigate this noise, and nothing is out of place.
Nothing. There's nothing in the kitchen or in the sink.
There's nothing
out of place.
There's no fork in the sink. There's nothing in the sink. But we had some kind of noise happen that perhaps did not belong. Well, I know it didn't belong here, because how long have we been doing the show from the winery? And I've never heard anything crash before.
Mid-July.
I don't know, but you did say last week that you were taking applications for ghosts to haunt the place, so...
Oh, maybe that was an application?
Yes. That was the initial interview.
You're hired.
That was the initial interview. I think they got the job.
I think that works for me. There we go. So next it'll be a floating DVD, I guess. I don't know.
Ooh, can it hit Will in the head?
Well, we'll see how the aim is, then we'll perfect it over time.
All right, okay.
But, so I did alert Mark and Marcus to that, because that is a significant event around here. Physical phenomena is something that I don't usually experience in my daily life. I experience it when I'm out and about ghost hunting.
I do.
You do, but I don't, and to have it happen, wow, especially talking about such heavy things as ITC and talking with the deceased. So this is, it's gotten my skin about a quarter of an inch away from my, further away from my body than it normally is. My skin is, prickly and awaiting something else to happen, and hopefully I will be disappointed in the physical phenomena area, but happy with the discussions that will happen henceforth. Mark Macy of worlditc.org and Marcus Leader of Leader Research, welcome back to Ghostly Talk. And we were talking about a lot of things, but what I'm wondering now, unless you don't want to change the topic, what I'm wondering now is what other research other than what you guys know, because I know worlditc.org, Mark Macy, you're involved with a lot of other folks. You have relationships with other scientists, paranormal scientists and non-paranormal scientists throughout the world that you've built up over time, and you probably have a better handle on what's being investigated now than I do. And then, of course, Marcus Leader, who's been all over the internet for a couple of years now, looking at all these different folks and what they're doing. What things are going on that in the world, other than this track, other than the ITC and spiritual track to get this kind of thing going? I know offhand of EVP, for example. But what other kinds of things are we looking at along this line to get contact with the other side?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask Mark that question.
Excellent.
If you have come across other researchers outside of World ITC that are doing similar research or related fields, because I haven't come across too many.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people doing EVP research, but not actual two-way communication type research.
It's been my experience over the past 15 years, I guess, that there was a sort of a heyday of all sorts of wonderful results happening in the 1990s with the Skoll experiments in England, where they were having incredible physical phenomena, probably the most amazing in the world ever reported. You know, it was just an incredible set of experiences they had. And the ITC experiences, our research group, our INETS group, International Network for Instrumental Transcommunication, we were having miraculous contacts. And there were some other German researchers, Adolf Holmes, Klaus Schreiber, getting amazing things. But this is, again, ITC, I guess, that I'm talking about now. But an interesting thing happened around the year 2000. There seemed to be a shift in the world, political and economic, which spilled over into a lot of religious and cultural things, too, which started causing a lot of problems in the world. And as the dissonance increased, I guess, it's in society at all levels, these miracles began to dissipate a little bit. They began to back off. And at the present time, I'm not too familiar with anybody who's really getting amazing contacts or results of any kind. There's one fellow in Italy named Marcello Bacci who started experimenting in the 1960s with an old tube-type radio. And he has people come into his basement and they talk to their deceased loved ones through the radio. And that's still going on today. He still gets contacts like that. But other than him, and I still get pictures with my Luminator, you know, I take pictures of people with a Polaroid camera and we get pictures of spirit faces posing side by side or superimposed over the human faces. Beyond that, the only research efforts I know about are those like Gary Schwartz at the University of in Arizona, I guess. He's basically trying to prove life after death scientifically with the use of psychics and some sort of clinical tests. But that, as far as the contacts that are building bridges to other worlds with physical phenomena or communications, that seems to be on the back burner right now until things settle a little bit more in the world. And that's the only reason I can think of why things are kind of on hold right now.
Well, I do notice an upswing of sorts of mental mediums. Because there's, you know, physical mediums and mental mediums. Physical mediums are what you think of when you think of the spiritualist movement, the rapping on the walls, the table tipping. That's physical mediumship, I mean. Mental mediums are folks who go into a slightly altered state of consciousness and then receive images, apparently. And I mean, I'm fairly convinced about some of these folks, too, because some of these have brought information that I don't think were being presented by the person, the sitter, you know, the person they are reading for. Brought information to them that would make them cry, that would make them just absolutely amazed. And I don't think the sitter was broadcasting this through any mannerisms or speech or anything like that. I think the person was just sitting there, and then bam, the mental medium hits them with a fact or an impression that they got, like, you know, what does this mean to you? And then all of a sudden they start bursting into tears, right? That's not normal. So I'm convinced about some of this kind of thing, but I've noticed an upswing in mental mediumship as opposed to a downswing. And then, of course, there's the corresponding downswing in ITC and bridge building. Is there an inverse correlation, or are the two so incredibly different, you know, mental mediumship versus, you know, ITC, which is, you know, spiritual and technological? Are the two so different that they're, you know, is it apples and oranges, or is there some kind of inverse correlation going on?
I don't see an inverse correlation. I think now that you mention it, you know, the consciousness is expanding quite a lot with TV shows like Ghost Whisperer, mm-hmm. Medium,
mm-hmm.
And there is incredible amount of interest right now in psychic abilities and, like you said, mental mediumship. And I think as that spreads, that also provides fertile ground for ITC bridges, the people's enthusiasm about communication with the other side and their understanding, increasing their growing knowledge about what goes on the other side. I think that also kind of creates this field that allows, that will allow ITC bridges to take place in the future, hopefully the near future. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, that pickup in the mental mediumship.
Have you seen mental mediums at work? Are you convinced of them, or is it still like it was with the physical mediums, where, you know, when Henry Houdini was running around trying to debunk them and things like that? What state do you see mental mediumship being in? Believable? Unbelievable?
I can answer first, I guess. This is Mark Macy. I've talked to quite a few mental mediums in the past 15 years, I guess, and they vary quite a lot for me. There's one medium, a woman I've talked to, who says a lot of interesting things, but they don't seem to apply to me at the moment or later on. I look back on it. Whereas I have a friend of mine who talks to the same woman, and almost everything she says resonates very closely. So a lot of the mental mediumship seems to depend on the individuals. And I've talked to James Van Praagh some years ago, before he became well-known, and he was in touch mentally with my spirit friends who were making ITC contacts at that time, and he did bring through a lot of very good information that was very pertinent. So I know there's a lot of legitimacy in mental mediumship, but it's kind of subjective in some cases too.
And people vary with their own skills. I mean, I for example, while I am able to read, I read extremely slowly. I mean, very, very, very slowly. And it's by choice, by the way. I like to linger over the words, and yes, I can skim, but I like to take it in. And I like that moment that I'm reading and creating a picture in my head of it. I'm not able to talk to deceased people with my mind, but I would have a varying degree, in this case, on the nil side, as somebody who does it every day and practices all the time. So I imagine people have varying degrees the wrong word is competency. I can't think of the right word. Varying degrees of... And the wrong word, again, is ability. I can't think of the right word, but varying degrees of whatever that word is. Folks will have different degrees of it. So that would seem normal to me. Marcus Leader, mental mediumship.
I've seen a few. I haven't worked with too many personally, but I've seen the whole spectrum. There's always going to be charlatans around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as bad, I don't think, as it was at the turn of the century, but you're always going to have those. But I think, like Mark was saying, is that a lot of mediums will work well with one person, with one individual, and then maybe hit and miss with another. And I think it has to do with, again, with that resonance thing, how well the two people are compatible in their energy fields. And someone that's highly compatible with this medium, they're going to get a much better reading than someone that's, you know, clashing. And I've walked around like the different psychic fairs they have, and where they have their booth set up, and they do readings there for whatever, you know, $45 or whatever they charge. And I just kind of looked at the table and kind of just listened to what they were saying. And a lot of them are just, you know, I've listened to the same people with two or three people. And a lot of them are just rattling information off and stuff pulling out of their head that they wouldn't have any way of knowing. And then another individual sits down, and it's like it's a struggle to get information. And there's nowhere near the amount of energy flow. So, and like you were saying about their different degrees, there are different degrees. You know, I haven't found the right word either. You know, accuracy, effectiveness, or whatever you want to call it, but some, you know, are definitely better than others. Some are able to open up and reach into the other person or into the multiverse, you know, and tap into information. I think a lot of people that really aren't mediums, you know, born mediums, they can learn it through different techniques. It's just, you know, it takes time. The other thing to consider with mediums, if you look at it from, you know, a scientific, parapsychological, you know, point of view, if a medium sits down, they may be getting information from your dead Aunt Mabel, you know, telling you all these things, or they may be tapping telepathically into that person's energy that they're given the reading for, and getting all this information without them even knowing it. So it's not necessarily that they're tapping into the entity from the other side. They may be tapping into memories within that person. So there's a lot of different facets of mediumship, but there does seem to be an uprise, you know, legitimate mediums today.
And is it going to get easier, better, or worse, or is anybody scared of 2012, the year?
Oh boy. That's a tough one. There's so much controversy on that. You know, there's even, you know, somewhere I saw a cartoon about the two you know, calendar makers sitting there making the calendar, and they're chiseling away, and the guy stops, and the other guy tells him to go ahead and finish the calendar, and he says he can't because he ran out of stone. So there's... didn't disconnect you.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. There's a lot of controversy about that. I, you know, don't really have enough evidence to form a logical opinion on it yet, but I think there's a reason they stopped at 2012, but I don't necessarily, you know, anytime there's something like that happens, we automatically tend to jump to catastrophe, end of the world type thing. It could be a very positive thing. You know, also it could be the point where we actually, you know, open up and bridge these bridges we're trying to bridge, like what World ITC is trying to do. It may be the point where harmony is starts to take a turn for the positive. It's hard to say.
Yeah. In fact, I kind of agree. I think I like to think that what's going on now in the world is kind of a stirring up of wounds. You know, open a wound up, you have to kind of stir things up before the healing can begin. And so maybe we are entering a dark period of stirring up old wounds so we can enter a period of healing and peace and resonance afterwards, you know. And, that's what I like to think. And when that kind of new age comes, I guess that's when there will be all sorts of bridges opening up and good feelings around the world and a lot of harmony.
Yeah, that's what we like to think. Otherwise, all the work we're doing now is going to be for nothing. We can talk to anybody we want on the other side then.
Yeah. Or we'll be talking to them because we'll be over there.
Yeah. Right. We'll float over and say, hey. Okay, something I want to ask both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mean for this to turn into an interview kind of thing. I just but having both of you on the line is an opportunity I cannot pass up, right? One person that I'm absolutely fascinated with is Bill Nell, and he studies the Philadelphia experiment, the experiments at Montauk with the ESP chair that was given to humanity by aliens, and time travel, and you know, through the function and use of this chair, and different dimensions, and just all kinds of stuff that go along with Philadelphia experiment and Montauk, and what it appears that they did, and we don't know. Because, you know, no one will talk about it openly or freely other than what's already been given to us, to the world by, you know, a few people. It appears like they just threw a whole bunch of power electricity, you know, regular power, at this specially designed chair, and sat a psychic, an operator, a chair operator who was psychic, you know, gifted psychically, at least enough that they deemed, who would then control where and when the person would, the person who was going to step through this tunnel, emerge. The psychic would use the chair and the power to create this vortex that the person would go through and emerge on the other side. Is this kind of bizarre thing possible? Is it not? Is it within your imaginations, or the way that you guys understand the world and the way it works and the way power systems and electronic gizmos, because this chair would be nothing but a huge electronic gizmo with a lot of power behind it. Is all this within the realm? I mean, it is marrying technology with psychic and therefore spiritual things together, just a one-person operator, though. Is this within the realm of possibility to you guys?
Well, I think it is. Partly because you got to understand from the rumors and everything, our government is technologically anywhere from 50 to 100 years ahead of our current technological, you know, what the public has available. And so, you know, what we have available in our world, you know, cell phone technology, all that stuff, is it probably wouldn't be possible. But if you take a step a little bit further out in a few years, I would say it would be. And I know, I have known people that have been involved in projects that, you know, they can't really tell too much about, but for things like that happen. My uncle was on the ship that they used in the Philadelphia experiment, and, you know, he disappeared and never came back. And so I know they're capable of doing a lot of things like that. I'm not familiar with that exact one you're talking about, but you know, I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility technologically.
I agree. The group I was involved with, this INIT group from different countries, that was the project we were working on when we disbanded. We called it the Space-Time Doorway. And that was part of kind of a carryover project of what we were told was underway many, many thousands of years ago before recorded history. And we were kind of following that up now that we have the technology in this world to do it.